Dhuhr. The worshipper would sit after the second raka'ah and recite the tashahud up until Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. After that, the Shaykh Hafizullah said, then the worshipper says, Allahu Akbar, and he stands up. Okay? So if you pray, for example, if you're praying three raka'ah or four raka'ah, you have two sittings or two places where you pronounce the tashahud. If you have two raka'ah or less, then you only have one tashahud. This is simple. For Fajr prayer, you have two raka'ah. Therefore, you have one tashahud. For Dhuhr prayer, you have four raka'ah. You have two tashahud, two places where you sit down. For the Asr Salah, you have four raka'ah. Therefore, you sit down twice and pronounce the tashahud twice. For Maghrib, you have three raka'ah. That is twice you pronounce the tashahud. For Isha, you have four raka'ah, therefore you have two tashahud and two sittings. So the Shaykh, Hafizullah, he said, and then the worshipper stands up in qiyam position. He raises his hands up to the level of his shoulders. The worshipper puts his hands over his chest as explained before and recites the Fatiha. And we all know that the Fatiha is compulsory in every salah, every ritual prayer. He may add the Fatiha with some other verses of the Quran while performing the third or the fourth rak'ah. So you may see in the Muslim world that it is prevalent in the third rak'ah and the fourth rak'ah that they only recite Fatiha. But this doesn't mean that it's compulsory. This doesn't mean that you can't recite other than Fatiha in the third raka'ah or the fourth raka'ah. In every letter of the Quran and the Kareem is a hasana. So if you recite after your Fatiha, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ صَمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُلَدْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. For example, in your third or fourth raka'ah, you're getting ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more extra things you do inside your prayer, the more ajr, the more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I read something very interesting today concerning optional prayers, and I want to share this beneficial knowledge with all those who are here today. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quote, the first thing that the people will be called to account for in the day of judgment will be their prayers. Our Lord will say to the angels, although he knows better, look into the salah of my servant to see if he observed it perfectly or has been negligent in it. So if he observed it perfectly, it will be recorded to his credit. But if he had been negligent in it in any way, Allah will say, see if my servant has any extra prayers. If he has any extra prayers, Allah would say, make up the deficiency in my servant's obligatory prayer with his extra prayers. Thereafter, all his actions will be examined in the like manner. End quote. This hadith is in Abu Dawood. What is this telling us? This is telling us that the more you pray extra in your extra prayers, the more likely the faults what's inside of your obligatory prayers will be recompensed for. Therefore, the more you do inside, the more extra prayers that you're making, the more nawafil prayers you're making, the more likely your obligatory prayers will be accepted on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. So I felt that that is important concerning the prayers, that we have this knowledge, that we'll be reminded that all of the prayers that we're doing, they're not a loss. Everything inside of your salah is accounted for. And every extra effort you put in inside of your prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he continued, after the third raka'ah of Maghrib, evening prayer, the fourth raka'ah of Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. So after you're sitting in this position, and you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the fire, from the punishment of the grave, from the trials of life and death, and from the false Messiah, La ilaha illallah. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command us to seek refuge in Allah from these four things in every prayer? This shows the validity of how these things are so serious. Al-Jahannam, the fire. Can you picture, if you've seen, the similitude of human beings and the fire of hell? I place it in as such. If you have a garden, okay, and you have fruits, and you have tomatoes, and you have cucumber, and you have onions, and you have all grapes, and you have olives, and you have peanuts, and you have all this cabbage, okay? What if in this beautiful garden you had weeds sucking from your tomatoes, or weeds that's eating up all of your grapes? What would you do to those weeds? You chop it down. You cut it off, right? Well, I want to go even further. After you chop off that weed, after you take it away from the tomatoes and the grapes, would you care about his feelings? Would you say, no, I'm going to put this weed in a beautiful box, and I'm going to wrap it up and gift make it, and I'm going to maybe send it to the recycling center so it can be placed on. No! You throw it away without even thinking about it. Allah takes his worship very seriously. So if you're in this garden of creation, and you're committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're looked at just like a weed in a beautiful garden. You think Allah is not going to throw away the people of the fire and not think about them? You think he's going to be concerned about your feelings? Are you concerned about that weed that is sucking up your tomatoes? That's taken away from your profit? No, you're not. If you've seen a roach in your house, what'd you do? Oh, this roach. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give it a box. I'm going to put little holes in it. I'm going to mail it off to grow up in the zoo. No! You stop on it. Especially if it's in your cereal or in your rice. Man, I'm going to punish you. Would you dig a hole in the ground and put that roach in the ground and bury it and give it a front row? No, you don't. You stomp on it and you care less about its consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to throw the people of the fire away and not even think about it. It is nothing. Why? Because you commit shirk. 60 years you've been worshiping other than Allah azza wa jal. 60 years you've been committing shirk. 60 years you've been throwing away your whole life, and you did not even concern yourself on answering the question, who is Allah? Why am I created for? You know? So Rasulullah SAW ordered us to seek refuge in Allah from the Jahannam, and seek refuge in Allah from the trials of the grave, and from the trials of life and death, and from the trial of the false Messiah. Even though he knew that there were some Sahaba who would not even undergo or not even see the false Messiah. But he still commanded them to seek refuge in Allah from this. Subhanallah. This shows the importance of it. Therefore, the Shaykh, Hafidullah, he said, and asks Allah's protection from these four evils. And he then ends his salam by taslim. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left. Note, you will hear some people say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh on the right. And on the left, they say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As far as I know, this is all correct. It is recommended to say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this the most. It is also reported that he did not say it on the left one time, so this is also acceptable. On page 15, the Shaykh continued, it is not obligatory an obligatory duty, but it is recommended by prophetic tradition to invoke Allah after terminating the salah by asking forgiveness by saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. After this, say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarak ya dhal al-jalal wal ikram once. So why do you do this? Well, I tried to think on the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to do this. As far as my logic tells me is that if you make a mistake inside of your salah, and you did something unknowingly, or you were just extraordinarily tired, right? And you happen to have some shortcomings in your salah that you don't know about. So asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after you finish your prayer, this is also a means of filling in the gaps, right? Another time where you ask Allah's forgiveness, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask forgiveness, is when he came out the bathroom. Well, I was wondering, as a new shahada, I was wondering, why is it part of the sunnah to say ghufranaka after you leave the toilet, right? Well, I thought about it. After you leave the toilet, after you leave the restroom, excuse me, right? You say ghufranaka, because Allah knows best what splashed on you. Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, especially in one of these rest stop bathrooms, right? You rush in there, and you don't want to sit down, you're like, ooh, man, that's, ooh, you know? And you stand up, and you, oh, right? So it's part of the sunnah to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness after leaving the bathroom as a recompense for the shortcomings you don't know about. Okay? So, Alhamdulillah, who gave us this blessed sunnah. Then the Shaykh, he continued, then recite Subhanallah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 33 times. Then say once, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Now, this is after you have finished the ritual prayer, and now you're finishing your prayer, and you're still remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're acknowledging Allah's greatness. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal al-jalal wal ikram. You're saying all of this praise of Allah azza wa jal, and you're seeking His forgiveness. and you're acknowledging His greatness, and you're acknowledging His oneness. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And Allah loves to brag upon the Salihin. All throughout the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla is bragging upon the believers. Right? Allah is saying they wake up in the night time with their sighs rejecting the beds, right? Remembering Allah before the morning, seeking His forgiveness in the evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bragging upon the believer all throughout the Book of Allah. And He loves to do so, especially when you seek His forgiveness. Allah Azza wa Jalla is so generous when it comes to forgiveness, and He loves for you to repent to Him so much so that a rat who lost all his belongings and all of his wealth and just is about to die, and he goes to sleep or blacks out, and he wakes up and sees all his belongings and the camel and his drink and his water there, how would you think this man would be? He would be happy. He'd do a cartwheel all the way across the desert. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal is more happier with the slave of Allah turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking His forgiveness, making tawbah, than this man who found all of his wealth, his water, his drink, and all of his belongings. Allah Azza wa Jal loves His creation so much, He has put so many ways of recompensing our mistakes. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our Lord is so generous. As we have, and the Shaykh Hafidullah, he continued, page 15, as we have said earlier, the performance of the prayer five times daily is obligatory upon one's acceptance of Islam. As soon as you take shahadah, the salah is a commandment on you. Even if you don't know anything except the movements, you are still commanded and legislated by Islamic law to make the salah five times daily. Okay? And just as a reminder, if you don't know the Fatiha, the Tashahud, you don't know what to say in Ruku', you don't know what to say, all you say is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And it doesn't have to be in that order. So the Shaykh is saying you must perform them to the best of your ability, even if it requires you to hold this booklet while praying. This is a fiqh ruling from the Shaykh. Learning to say your salah in Arabic is a must. So you should do the best as you can, the best you can. Now we're going to, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll end this dars, this harakah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and book is being studied, where the malaika gather around and ask, make dua for the believers who come to the musalla, who come to the gathering. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to forgive them, to have mercy upon them. All of this generous giving from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Inshallah, it's too bad it has to end, right? Additional information, the Shaykh is going to fiqh rulings concerning the wudu and the salah. Number one, ghusl, complete bath or shower, however you want to place it. The Shaykh said that you must make ablution or a ghusl, after the following, after intercourse. Okay, after having a wet dream, and he put it this like this, okay? After childbirth bleeding, which has appeared like 40 days, some odd like 40, 30 some odd days, and the women, I think they know better than I do. But after childbirth bleeding, then a ghusl is mandatory. After menstruation, a ghusl is mandatory. After orgasm, a ghusl is mandatory. If you have your kids listening, please forgive me. For the above mentioned conditions, one must make the intention. Intention is very important before you make the ghusl, in order for your salah to be eligible for acceptance. And follow a full, complete shower or bath for the entire body. How this is done, I was taught that you wash your private parts first. After that, make wudu, and like you usually do, and after that, wash from head to toe, from right to left, of your whole entire body, without leaving any dry spaces at all. The tayammum, okay, in case of absence of water, or when water cannot be used due to illness or hardship, tayammum will serve as a substitute for the ablution, the wudu, as well as obligatory bath, the ghusl. Utilizing the surface of the earth, i.e. dirt, sand, rocks, etc., is the means for making tayammum. And the Shaykh, Hafizullah, he's about to tell us, inshallah, how to make tayammum. Now listen closely, because there's a lot of bid'ah concerning tayammum. How to make tayammum? Number one, get your intention ready in your heart. In your heart. Say, Bismillah. Number three, strike the surface of the earth with your palms, with your two hands. Shake the excess dirt off of your hands by striking them together. Then wrap your entire face like such, as well as your two hands. Just go like this here, and boom, you're through, you're done, right? And this completes the tayammum. The prayer of a woman, the Shaykh Hafizullah is saying, the prayer of a woman is exactly the same as a man in all positions. The only difference is the manner of covering. The awrah of the woman is different from the awrah of the man. Okay, so the Shaykh is saying, Abdullah, that all of the components of the prayer are exactly the same. And there's a lot of misunderstandings, JazakAllah khair, concerning women pray and men, how should women should go close to their chest and they should put it above and all of this. No, the most authentic view, Allahu A'lam, is to pray like the Prophet prayed. Actions which invalidate the wudu. The Shaykh said, sleeping, it invalidates the wudu. And we're going to leave this very simple. We're not going to go into advanced fiqh concerning these things like laying down and all of this. Losing consciousness, okay, invalidates your wudu. Anything coming from the private parts, invalidates your wudu. Touching the private parts with the naked hands with the lust, invalidates your wudu. Things which invalidate your prayer. If you're making salah, this will invalidate your prayer. Eating and drinking intentionally. Talking intentionally, not for purpose of correcting the salah. Neglecting an obligatory part of the salah intentionally. Laughing will also invalidate your prayer. Excessive movements in the prayer will also invalidate your prayer. And that's, and you can go to college on things that invalidate your wudu, invalidate your prayer. But the Shaykh, he left his book very simple, so we're going to leave this dars very simple. And now we end this dars with the following. The five daily prayers, and the Imam, Hafizullah, he described what are the five daily prayers and how many raka'ah and their timing. Number one, Fajr prayer is to raka'ah. It starts at dawn and ends with sunrise. Number two, Dhuhr is for raka'ah. It starts at midday and ends at mid-afternoon. Asr is for raka'ah. It starts in the mid-afternoon and ends with sunset. Maghrib is three raka'ah. It starts with sunset and ends with twilight disappearing. Isha is four raka'ah. It starts after the disappearance of twilight and ends at midnight. Okay, the Shaykh, he said midnight in this case is halfway between sunset and Fajr. Midnight does not mean 12 o'clock. Okay, midnight meaning soon as the sun sets and soon as the time for Fajr, if you came up with how many hours in that time span that which is right in the middle is considered midnight, okay, not 12 o'clock. On the Salah, any questions concerning the prayer or the tashahud or the timings? Please pose your questions now. There's one question on the net. So if I was fixing my salah outfit, for instance, my head covering so it won't slip off, is that okay? Yes, this is okay, and this is recommended. This is a must, actually. If you're, for example, if your hijab was falling off in the salah, and your awrah is showing, you must fix your hijab, your head covering, the best way you can, the quickest you can, the most comfortable manner you can, that won't lose the kushur or the essence of the prayer. This is a must for you to cover your awrah. Your awrah must be covered. And especially if you're in the presence of non-mahram men. For example, you're in the musalla and your head covering was sliding off. It is preferable for you to fix your head covering and do the best you can, inshallah ta'ala. The movements that I was referring to, for example, is looking at your watch. Alright? If the urine talawih, and you put yourself in a position to be in talawih prayer, you know it's long. Why are you looking at your watch? Okay? This is some of the actions that the Sheikh is talking about that may invalidate your prayer. Another example is, you know, somebody paid you, right? Here you are, you're in your sajda, right? And somebody call you on the phone, and you open up your phone and look to see who it is, and you're in salah. Now, what is this? What is this? You know, this is not the actions that are part of the prayer. And indeed, Sheikh Uthaymeen, if we went to Sheikh Uthaymeen's book, Sheikh Uthaymeen has a long books concerning the salah and the prayer. And he said, khushu', humility and God consciousness, humility and God consciousness, khushu' is a pillar of the salah. Therefore, if you don't have khushu' in your salah, then you have to make your salah over. And he gave a lot of evidence concerning this, especially the evidence where the Prophet ﷺ told the man to go back and pray again because he didn't pray. Therefore, extra movements in the side of the prayer could constitute your invalidation for your prayer. Wallahu tabarak wa ta'ala alam. Any questions? Any more questions on the net? JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. See you next Wednesday, inshallah.